The following live broadcast of Tribbles in Ecstasy may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of the station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised. Now give it up for Warp 11.
And welcome to another episode of Tribbles in Ecstasy, where opinions are like lockboxes. We all have them. We don't know what to do with them, so we throw them wherever we can to get them out of our inventory. Tonight, we got a pretty decent house tonight. We got Alistair here holding down the fort. How you doing, man?
I'm holding down the fort, and it's fighting me!
That's cool. Heard you got a new ride, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Skipper's on. How you doing, man?
All right. Hope everyone's all right.
We're making it. And of course we got Woody Valley here to kind of back cleanup. So how you doing, man?
I'm good. Excuse me for a sec. Let's go get the broom.
And of course, I'm your host Katsu. We got a number of things going on tonight. So it's going to be kind of a lighter show, but we've also got some things to it would give us the ability to kind of dig into a little couple of different topics. So let's go ahead and get into it. We are broadcasting today from Earthspace Dock number 15. So over in we're at Club 47 right now. I got a party popper going, and we're dancing and rocking out. We're having a great time. So y'all should come join us. Or you, of course, you can catch us on Holosuite Media on our live stream, livestream.com/holosuiteaccess, or you can go to holosuitemedia.com to catch our live stream that way. And also, we are beginning now to put our audio remastered shows up. I know we've got at least one up at present, so obviously stick around on Holosuite Media to catch those. So let's go ahead and dig into what's news. Now we covered the state of the game last week, kind of in bits and pieces, but we ended up. Having reviewed the state of the game, having gone back through it, we ended up actually covering the entire state of the game over the course of the talk show. So this week, two things have come out. The Legacy of Romulus blog 34, which discussed the new cosmetic upgrade to the dilithium mine, which actually adds people to the dilithium mine. And also we're dealing with Legacy of Romulus 33, which is the veteran rewards for the Romulan faction. So I see that we've got somebody, it's Alistair, I think, with the Romulan set. How's that looking for you?
I actually like this code. I like it a lot. This is the
Admiral, isn't it?
This is the 500-day code with the 900-day material.
Oh, swanky. It actually does really, really look nice. I looked at the guy's coat, and I really like that too. I want to give it a whirl whenever I get around to my Romulan. So,
I'd be on my male Reman, but I have a funny feeling that the Federation wouldn't take kindly to a KDF and like Reman being over here.
For some reason, it's like that. So a couple of things we got going on with the veteran rewards. First things first, we've got the obviously the Romulan Admiral uniform, which I am now cleverly covering up with J.J. Abrams lens flares. Anyway, we've also got, there's actually a Romulan veteran uniform, which is the 200-day. As I recall, the 300-day is the Commander's Gig Shuttle, which...
It's 400-day.
Oh, it's 400-day? My bad. It's functionally similar to the Captain's Yacht. It's a really nice little cruise-around shuttle. Then, of course, there's the Romulan Admiral uniform, which you said was 500A, right?
Yep, and then 900A. At 500 days, you can wear the uniform, and you can wear the uniform with, I think it, with the platinum shoulder pads, and then I think at 900 days, you get the gold shoulder pads.
Rock on. Also, there's the veteran ship material, which, as I recall, is another part of the 900 day thing. And to me, it kind of looked really kind of silver metallic or whatever. I really didn't. The only picture I've seen so far is of the. I think it's a Mogai. They've got kitted up with the new material.
It's really like an updated version of the TOS material, which was the dark gray, not the dark gray, the light gray. It's more okay. Shiny new and white, and depending on the ship you have, some green essence or gold essence.
Got it. And then finally, your 1000-day is the Enos Heavy Destroyer, which I did some basic comparisons, and it's, to me, it very very functionally similar to the Chimera Heavy Destroyer, even down to having the battle mode and the non-battle mode,
yeah,
and having the Plasma Lotus versus the Phaser Lotus. So.
The 1000-day ships are all pretty much identical. They just, you know, have, you know, the classic... faction style Lotus, like the Klingon one has the disruptor, and then they all have the regenerative mode and the tactical mode. What I did notice though is that the Romulan one has a lot of really cool animations.
Wait, more animations than the Chimera, or just cooler animations?
Well, with the Chimera, so far as I've noticed, The only real animation you get is when you transform. I don't know. I've never actually flown one. I don't know if there's an animation that happens when you go into warp. But
yeah, there is. The nacelles compact, and I believe the nacelles swing down, as I recall. Not like completely under the ship, but kind of at a 45-degree angle down slope.
Kind of like anti-Voyager?
Sorta. Like, it's... I've dug the Chimera ever since I put it in, because it's basically just as fast and wicked as the Defiant retrofit, but it's got more crew and more armor, which makes me happy.
Well, the Romulan one, it's got a lot of impulse engines on it, but when I went into warp the first time, I noticed that there's a set of impulse engines right underneath the base of the tail of the ship that the entire section folds down and back 180 degrees when you go into warp. Folds down out of the ship and back. And I think that's, you know, it's either spare warp engines or part of the quantum slipstream drift.
It's spare warp engines. Just, we've got so many extra warp engines, we don't even know what to do with them, so we just tuck them under. and then of course the, I know that since the dev blog has happened, I've finally gotten my Ryzean Corvette. Has anybody else gotten theirs?
Yeah.
Fast ship is fast.
I'm about 5 days off from getting mine, so...
Ridiculous power levels are ridiculous.
Yeah, I haven't actually... All I've done is right now it's just got the stock gear on it. I'm really toying with the idea of whether or not I want to turn it into a cannon gunboat, because... Yeah, like the turn rate on this thing is stupid, and its speed is even more ridiculous. And it's stupid good, not stupid bad. I was just tooling around in space combat, and like even without my evasive maneuvers, I was going end on end and like under, I don't even know how fast. It was just dumb. I didn't even get a chance to blink, and I was end on end. So that was pretty cool.
I pulled all the stuff that I had on my Brink Cruiser off of it, except for the cutting beam and the Borg console. I decided to forego them. And my power levels on that thing, using a advanced fleet warp core, is 118, 84, 87, 43, which is ridiculous when you think about it.
And that's before all the console craziness?
I don't really have a lot of console craziness. The only special console I have on there is is the Theta radiation console. It's one of the KDF consoles I got it in a lockbox.
Gotcha.
One thing I learned when I did do the PvP boot camp is kind of forego those special consoles.
Gotcha.
I actually have the tactical consoles that increase plasma weapons because I use them on the plasma weapons. A fleet RCS accelerator, which is ridiculous because the Mark 10 is better than a Mark 11 purple. And then two field emitters, I think is what they are. And I've taken it to PvP. I'm not going to say that Xander is the greatest PvPer in the world, but I'm going to say he's probably the exact opposite, but, you know, he kind of didn't touch me. And regards to speed, my Breen Cruiser that I was in before, it was known for being pretty darn fast for a cruiser among my fleet. I have to fly at half impulse, too, and I'm still flying faster than it did.
Nice.
Okay. I get the feeling it's going to get nerfed pretty soon.
All I know is that speed-wise, when I had the speed pumped up before I made some minor adjustments, and I had like 98 engine power with bonuses and everything, I was going just shy of 50 impulse.
Whoa.
That's ridiculous.
It is redonkulous, and it's even more redonkulous when you like pop attack pattern alpha and omega with an engine battery, evasive maneuvers, and then the subspace wave console. You're like, hi, one end of the map. Hello, other end of the map.
I could get behind that. I think I could endorse being on the other side of the map in no time at all. That may actually. Have you taken this into Starbase Blockade? It's one of the fleet ones I don't run because it's the whole like fend off the attackers.
The 20 man.
Yeah. The one where you're defending the cargo vessels.
Oh, that's the that one. I do that one frequently. I did it in my Breen Cruiser. We actually got very good at it.
Have you tried it with the Corvette?
I have, actually. Yes, I have. We lost only 3 freighters, which was actually pretty poor, all things considering. But that was before I made some adjustments and everything. I haven't done it since then.
Well, because correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, people... I threw Lobie at... I'll be honest, I threw Lobie at my Corvette. But, this... People should be earning it right about now, right? Like, right about yesterday or so.
Yeah, they should. I threw enough Lobie at it to cut off probably 2 days. Because I missed 2 days.
Okay.
And I had Lobie to spare because there's nothing in the Lobie store I'm really interested in, and there's no way I'm going to save up 800 for any of those bigger ships.
Oh, come on. You don't want to open tons and tons of lockboxes?
No.
I think there needs to be... There needs to be a currency simplification in STO, I think, because like there's what 6 different currencies
energy credits to lithium. You noob.
But what I'm saying is, and I knew there were more than that. I'm just saying that between Lobie, to lithium, latinum, which I think latinum there should be way more uses for latinum than there are. And
I think that Lobie
energy
should
credits.
Be, Lobie should be gotten rid of and combined with Latinum. I mean, because... Well, let's be honest.
It's Ferengi currency.
It's Ferengi currency, and it's a Ferengi company that's using Lobie. That doesn't make sense. Especially since it's kind of covered, I think, in the first episode of Voyager, that Lobie is really common. Latinum really needs a lot more uses. And... I remember... more than a year ago when we kept hearing, we're going to simplify all these currencies down into one, and we had 3 currencies, energy credits, dilithium, and gold press latinum. And now we have energy credits, 3 types of marks, I'm sorry, 4 types of marks, fleet credits, dilithium, and gold press latinum, and Lobie.
Yeah, I really think, well, I mean, the thing is, in terms of the marks, I'm cool with the marks because that's a... I mean, for lack of a better phrase, that's a raid rewards quest in a you know, dungeon rewards or the STO equivalent of them. You know what I'm saying? Kind of the same way that, you know, you go into World of Warcraft, or you go into Secret World, or you go into any of these others, and you have very specific things you can pull out of them. You know.
True.
So, although I'm cool with the marks. Other than just the number of them you have to do anything.
My issue with the marks, though, is they're kind of off balance. I mean, it's really, really easy to get a Mega Marks. I mean, you can run, you know, one Kidmark Horde Ground Elite, get the bonus objective, and you've got enough marks to, like, last yourself weeks when you're leveling up the system. But, like, Nukara marks or Fleet marks, you're kind of hard-pressed because the queues don't always work, and the queues are the only way to really get Fleet marks. Or Nukara marks, because you're not getting a lot of marks from the ground missions on Nukara.
No. That you have to wait, and even then, to get a decent amount of those, you have to wait till the mark event, you know? And yeah. That's the and I get that they run it, you know, was it twice a day or three times a day to make sure that, you know, people from different time zones and different parts of the world can access them, but I'm not going to stay up to catch two Fleet mark events, you know?
Yeah. And then there's, the Dilithium mining event, which a friend of mine has noticed, to his annoyance, at least. I haven't noticed it because I don't pay much attention to it, but he says it's always happening when they're down for maintenance. Like, they time it so whenever the Dilithium mining event happens on a Thursday, maintenance. Tuesday, maintenance.
Yeah, I just think that, well, no, you're supposed to have all the kind of all the mining and stuff now, right? You know, that's what the Dilithium mine's for.
Yeah, except, you know, it's the mine was made for, quote, small, unquote, fleets.
Oh, yeah. And we've bashed our heads against that. You know, we've dealt with that before, and that, you know, the percentages don't cut down deep enough, and the, you know, the missions are still so much. They're I think prohibitive in a lot of senses.
My fleet was looking at the cost of what it's going to be to eventually upgrade to tier 3 when we get there, because we're already tier 1 and working on tier 2 right now. But for the tier 3 upgrade, it's 25 million experience, which is essentially, you know, saying, like, my vice admiral has like 1.2 million.
Yeah, so that's somewhere in the vicinity of like 15 vice admirals dumping all of their expertise into this one project,
yeah,
or into this one series of projects.
And it's as we've noticed that Cryptic has said that, you know, that around 25 is the size of the average small fleet. But I have a funny feeling they're counting alts.
Well, yeah, they're counting. I think the problem is it's really easy to look in and see number of characters. But not necessarily. But I don't think a lot of people are looking at number of players. You know, I think if they were to look at the number of players, you're gonna find that, like, I have, you know, Katsu here in my fleet is my primary alt that I do pretty much everything on. He's my ship collector. Any of my collectible stuff goes to him. But, like, I've got like an engineer because I wanted to learn how to do engineering. I've got a scientist because I wanted to do science. And they're all in my fleet as well. So do I now count as three of my, you know, do I now count as three of the however many individuals I have in my fleet, you know? So I think a user listing as opposed to a character listing would be a much smarter way to judge fleet size. And then they'd realize that, like, I'm not going to stay on this, you know, I'm not going to stay on the game to run all of my alts through everything necessary to rank the base up, you know?
I just had a random thought. Well, you know, the Klingons have a ship with a big, big disruptor lance, and the Federation has the Galaxy X with a phaser lance. So when's the KDF going to get their plasma lance ship?
I think the plasma lance is actually more a factor of the Thaleron thing on the Scimitar.
Well, the thing is, you know, I wouldn't really say that, because the Galaxy X has that regardless of what consoles you put on it. And the Garumba has its Javelin regardless of what consoles you put on it. But you have to have all three consoles on the Scimitar to have the Thaleron burst. And which is why my Scimitar has no science consoles.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point, and that is why we must always be vigilant against the Romulans, for you never know where their ships are. Plasma. That's the problem. I don't know that I'd like a plasma lance, you know, because it's like so much damage and then so much percent damage over time, and that already deals a crazy amount of damage, you know.
Well, maybe instead of getting a plasma lance, we're gonna get one of those Alachi ships that have the big crescent disruptor.
That'd be kind of cool. I'd love to actually fly around in an Alachi ship, because you know, for once there'd be one of them not trying to kill me every time I go out.
Spoilers. You like spoilers? You like spoilers?
Ah, I do. I don't know about our people at home.
You kind of do fly one in the Romulan missions. You just fly
actually,
it, though.
I've already gotten through. Yeah. Okay.
You,
never mind.
You don't shoot anything. It has no weapons, no consoles. You just fly it.
Well. Boo.
But you get to see its weapon layout. You can guess at its console layout and everything like that. So you can kind of sort of know that they already have one ready for us to get.
Good. I'm a big fan of capturing other races' technology. And of course the developers have a poll up. I think the poll's still open. To where you can kind of chime in on where on the direction you want STO to go next. You know, do we put in a new faction, Dominion? Do we want to, you know, see new kinds of ships, Dominion? Do we want to, you know? So
I think we have enough Dominion ships. I mean, we've got the Brain Cruiser,
which was
Dominion.
People in the Dominion ships.
And we've got the Dominion Jim'Hadar attack ship, but the Jim'Hadar heavy escort, the Jim'Hadar. Dreadnought carrier.
Let's back up and clarify. I don't have a Jim'Hadar attack ship, and I know I want one.
I don't have one either. You can go rob Brandon.
No.
You don't want to rob Brandon.
No, no.
He will look at you and he will derp you to death with his brain. He can DPS nice. Like redonkulous.
Well, speaking of robbing people, something came up, and we at Holosuite Media want to have a take a little bit of our show to discuss this, put this out in the air, and let the community make whatever judgment it feels it needs to make. By way of a disclaimer, Holosuite Media, none of our shows, and all of our shows rather, we do not in any way, shape, or form advocate exploits, hacks, cheating, gold buying, any of these things. We believe in playing the game as, you know, as provided to us. Modding is a, you know, clear kind of exception to that, provided it's not in any way breaking the game, provided it's a cosmetic mod or whatever. We're cool with those, but as it applies to illegally modifying the play experience for other people, or in some way, you know, exploiting the game itself, we have issues with that. We're longtime friends. The Holosuite Media is longtime friends with Caspian Division and a number of other of the bigger fleets, and we you know, in the past there's been talk before about what happened with Caspian Division, that someone came in, basically hacked the fleet and stole it right out from underneath the entire fleet. They've since recovered and some awesome things have happened as a result of that, but word has surfaced that the individual or individuals involved may be attempting it again. This information is based on a podcast UGC episode, number 121. So my recommendation is, for the full direct word of mouth story, I would definitely go to podcast UGC, check out that episode. That way you're hearing it directly from them and we're not, you know, spreading any kind of maliciousness. I just want to put it out there. Obviously, party line, you know, Holosuite Media doesn't encourage stealing fleets, obviously. You know, piracy aside, you know, having my Klingon pirate character aside, piracy is not cool of any kind, especially fleet piracy. So, what are your thoughts on all that?
Piracy is bad. Don't be a pirate. Unless you're playing Gon.
Well, someone from Caspian here, it's not a good look, basically. It is hurtful. Yeah, because you're not just dealing with one person, you're dealing with quite a few people who are in that fleet. You know, people have put money into that fleet, real cash into that fleet, you know. So, in some ways, if you got yourself a good lawyer and stuff like that, you probably could easily say that you're doing grand theft in a way, because you are stealing people's real-life money. So, you know, it's not a real nice thing to have, you know. Because simply, we just don't need it in this game either.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. Now, Woody, you're the guy that kind of came to us with this. What was the deal? Apparently, there was another one, Jupiter Force, that had this problem too.
Yeah, this particular person, I can't exactly confirm it. This is. Person who was joined or, you know, took part in the in actual stealing of Caspian Division, you know, since we're now Caspian Rising. But we've sometime afterwards, you know, when we're rebuilding the Caspian as a whole, someone in our fleet got stuck in whispers that this person knows that the person who stole our fleet, pretty much praising this person, pretty much calling him a Robin Hood, in a way, stealing from the rich to thief to the poor and stuff like that. And if you want your fleet back, you pay 100 million energy credits. Well, we pretty much just left it at that. We reported to a GM. GM's pretty much just played it down, thinking the line of, this issue has been dealt with in the past. It's an internal matter. So, but just from listening to the podcast, last podcast UGC episode, and they mentioned this name, and I'm thinking, hang on, because I've got a copy of this whisper conversation here. I went had a look at it. So I've made a little snippet of one of the conversations, but is this the person is the person you were talking about? And then I got a reply back, yes. So, I don't know what sort of policy or reaction that Cryptic or, you know, PW have for this, but, you know, having this sort of people go around in the game, it's sort of like, it's pretty much damaging for the game, you know, just to have this sort of thing happening. So, you know, I'm just real, certainly, like, spread the word out, you know, you got to be a bit more cautious, you know, be cautious, you know, because there are people who've got malcontent out there. So, even if you talk to get in contact with other fleet leaders, even some of the big fleets like us here at Caspian or Jupiter Force or, you know, SSOG, you know, talk to them. They might be able to share some tips and hints on how to protect your fleet a little bit more better and stuff like that. Because these days it's a lot, especially ever since it's gone free to play and Dilithium is the main economy of the game, you know, it's a lot more costly than just having your bank emptied like it was before it gone free to play. So, you know, it's just simply keep your radar up, basically.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, something that I, because we were talking about this literally to give people an idea, we were discussing this for about an hour before the show started. In fact, we had to cut the conversation so that we could go live to have this conversation a little bit later on. One of the ideas that I was to put on the table is, and you know, granted, I've mentioned it before, my fleet's a whopping like six people, you know, but something that may be a good idea to have is, well, you know, of course we have the captain's table floating out in space at Space Dock and First City. You know, maybe that there needs to be, either through the forums or through the captain's table or through something, you know, literally a captain's or an admiral's summit. And if this is already an idea that's already been kicked around or an idea that's already been had, you know, then definitely, you know, then definitely that's just more, you know, because even from an outside point of view, it's like, hey, you know, maybe this needs to happen. But the idea of a kind of an admiral summit or a captain summit where, you know, we get the people together from the fleets to actually look at, you know, common ways that we want to deal with these kind of issues going forward. That way, you know, no one fleet gets taken advantage of, or, you know, that way we don't have these kind of repeats. Because if, honestly, you know, and we've said this before, you know, the reason we're critical of Perfect World is because we like the game and we don't want to see it, you know, fall flat or in some way fail. You know, if Perfect World has decided that these kind of issues are purely internal matters, then, you know, maybe it's something that, you know, all fleet leadership should take an active role in. Is that something that strikes a particularly relevant chord, Woody? Or, I mean,
yeah, well, I know for a simple fact that's not going to be happening on the forums and stuff like that, because, you know, pretty much, I know
it's the internet and everybody gets brave on the internet.
Well, I know Brain Flakes will probably say no to that sort of thing, because, you know, they don't want any vigilante type things happening on the forums. But, you know, there's no hurt in, you know, keeping a list and passing information on between fleets. I don't think it would cause any harm that way, because it's not exactly like open in public and stuff like that, you know, so.
Well, and I don't necessarily mean vigilanteism, more as a community awareness, setting a standard operating procedure, you know, for the way that, you know, for the way that we handle things like this going forward, kind of deal.
Yeah, well, I haven't exactly heard the interview, but I've got told about it. There is going to be some things implemented. So, from Priority One visiting Cryptic Studios and talking with Captain Gecko about protecting. Doing a bit more secure and protection so they don't steal fleets and stuff like that, with having a multiple vote type thing to oust or remove a fleet leader. So there is something secure going to be coming along, but when we're going to get it is another thing. So, you know, we've still got to keep our radar up, you know, we've got to watch over our shoulder a bit until this sort of thing, new secure thing, is being implemented.
And to be honest, more security stuff should be taken for regards to. We need to have more security options available for our accounts, because right now the one-time use account guard code thing is kind of easily bypassable.
Yeah, see, that's why, like, as much as I don't like authenticators, like, there are at least three apps on my phone that are authenticators for different games I play. Because I've ended up finding that since then, I don't get broken into. It's weird.
Yeah, I have an authenticator for that other game with Star in its name. And I've had no issues with my account whatsoever, because it's really, really difficult to get my account name, because my account name is not any of my characters' names. The two, to get my password, and then three, get the random code.
I just find that secure thing they have with the Stowe game, where you put in a 6-digit code and stuff like that. I'm just wondering if that really works terribly well, because I know for a simple fact, if you get that, all you have to do is hit cancel and you're in the game. So unless they've adjusted it since then, but I know it happens. My brother, who used to play Stowe, he jumped on my computer one time and started playing his character on his account, and all he had to do was just hit cancel to do it. So I'm just wondering if, you know, could that be like a loophole to get around sort of things, you know, and then steal
that's things. Definitely something that I would close quick, fast, and in a hurry. But
and let's also be honest, I mean, I mean Cryptic was hacked back in 2010. It took them, what, 2 years to figure that out? That's one of the reasons why I kind of shook my head and rolled my eyes initially when they said that this is an internal matter. And I'm like, but yeah, this guy's been gone since before your security stuff was input. And, you know, gone since before you announced that, you know, you'd been compromised. Doesn't that kind of make it Cryptic's, you know, responsibility too? But we've had this discussion before, and obviously, you know, this is months later, and Caspian never got their fleet back, so obviously Cryptic didn't think it was their responsibility.
True.
Yeah,
well then that's why I said it's like it's like PvP here, you know. Cryptic is, you know, Perfect World has made the stance that, you know, it's gonna try to make some changes to PvP, but it's not, you know, PvP is not the nature of the game, if I remember one interview right. You know, it was a thing that they had mentioned. So, you know, the community took it on themselves to handle PvP training and making a good, you know, vibrant PvP environment. This may be something that the Admiralty has to take upon themselves to be like, all right, well, let's make sure this stuff doesn't happen again. And I you know, I'm not a big fan of a blacklist, but on the other hand, if it's the same guy harassing six fleets, maybe there's a pattern there, you know?
Yeah, and it might be a bit of an internal issue and stuff like that, but just, you know, there's social media out there, you know, especially with us in Caspian, there's quite a few of us who are in, like, in podcasts and stuff like that, and, you know, we've got a massively columnist and stuff like that, you know, and some things you just got to be careful of. One thing that PWE and Cryptic got to be careful of, you know, it might be an internal matter, but social media out there, you know, it could easily, you know, harm the game. People might not be so interested in playing this game because it's, you know, you're leaving fleets wide open to get into these sort of situations. So, you know, probably PWE and Cryptic need to show some good intentions in, you know, trying to help us keep our game safe.
Yeah, and I think it also sets up a false limiter. Like, if it's, if the incentive for being in a bigger fleet, yes, you build projects faster, but you're also setting yourself up for that one guy who has an argument with one of the fleet officers and decides to, you know, invade the Rhineland and obliterate the fleet as quote-unquote punishment or retaliation or anything else like that, you know. You know, it sort of disincentivizes you, and I got to use that word. I love big words. It kind of takes away the incentive to work towards having a bigger fleet or a mega fleet. You know, is to run the risk of pulling down that one guy who's going to decide to flip you like crazy, and all Perfect World's going to say is, "Well, it's an internal thing." You know.
Last question. Is there a way of filtering or locking out certain things so it takes more than one person in the fleet to kick something?
Not at present.
No, that's something that through the Priority One interview is going to be implemented, which is pretty much what quite a lot of the podcasts have actually brought up as an idea. So they've taken on the idea and it's going to implement it into the game. When? It is going to happen, but when it's going to happen is another question.
Big fan of kick boats. So since we've already got you talking, Woody, you had a chance to play through a Foundry mission today, or was it today, or was it a little earlier this week?
Yeah, it's today. I just did it about an hour before the show, so sounds like my turn to shine, is it?
Oh, it sure is. You're shining so much, I kicked up another party ball.
Oh, joy or rapture.
Oh, yeah, right. It's showing right up in the camera, so we're, like I said, we're full on J.J. Abramsing this episode.
Oh, please don't.
No, if you look at live stream, the lens flares are going right into the camera. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've seen. Well, getting to this mission, I reviewed. The mission is called Eyes of Ishara, I believe. Ishara. By Stony997. It's only just got a little bit over 100 views, and it's a good, very good story mission. Pretty much just you have to go and help out. It's in search of a Starfleet officer and have a holy Bedrumage follow in behind it. It's very good in the way of storyline. It's not overly heavy, battle heavy, but wherever battle fights you have, it's all ground battle, no space battle. The one thing I really like to bring up about this, the attention to detail with the ground maps, he's like built some old, like old style, ancient style temples and stuff like that, and he pretty much built a cave from scratch. And I see he's done a very good job here. You know, I don't see any fault in it at all. And it, of course, it has a very good story to go with it. So I definitely recommend in playing this. It goes between 35 and 45 minutes, and I picked up like 1400 dilithium from it. So it's definitely a good mission to play.
All right, and that was Eyes of Ishara, you said?
Yes.
Outstanding.
But by Stony997.
Gotcha. So yeah, I mean, only 100 views, and definitely, you know, it's 35, 45 minutes worth of play, and, you know, pick up 1400 dilithium for your trouble. Definitely it's something to look into. And of course, if you have a Foundry mission that you've played through or that you've authored and you want us to be aware of it, there's tribblesinxtc@gmail.com or holosuitemedia.com. Just let us know your name. And again, like we stated last week, we are not we're not looking for the big Foundry names. We're not looking for the missions that have been reviewed in ad nauseum, you know, that just constantly reviewed, constantly looked at. You know, we're looking for maybe the diamonds in the rough, the stuff that's just a really fun playthrough and might be overlooked if it weren't given its, you know, due credit on, say, a live talk show. So definitely you know, throw those our way, look it up and see if we can't get that featured and get it reviewed for you. So,
the Fed or Klingon, I'll play either.
Oh, yeah. Fed, Klingon. I will categorically state right now we will not do Borg Foundry missions. So, not missions having to do with the Borg, just, you know, you're not allowed to play a Borg. That's it. No, kidding. I was looking on the internet, and I'm a kind of a science nerd and, you know, different Trek nerd and whatever. So, I came across this article, and it's I'm reading it from Live Science, but I know a number of different sources have reported it, that scientists have actually begun to implant memories in mice, which is really funny because, of course, the mice are the overlords of the entire universe, and, you know, we all serve at the behest until the computer comes up with the ultimate question or the ultimate answer. But the scientists have actually been activating neurons with using light to train mice to remember painful experiences in a completely different context from which they experience the pain. Then the false memories are encoded by brain cells in the same way that we, you know, develop these memories. The purpose of this experimentation Of course, the memories are can be unreliable, and it's all based on, you know, it's all based on. Currently, it's just based on subjectivity and how the mouse's brain is wired. But this is leading us to a little bit better idea about our own sense of memory, and especially since, you know, mice have not really displayed a creative streak, or a particularly developed creative streak, let's put it that way, as opposed to humanity, where we will develop any sort of response to any sort of stimuli no matter what. Our brains are incredibly creative, and that's why, you know, our paranoia kicks in, or our fear responses kick in, because we take a slight incident and then our creative brain takes it over and just goes crazy with it. So this is sort of a step in understanding A, how to generate those things, B, how to shut those things off, and C, you know, under what circumstances those behaviors might expose or react themselves, you know, react. You know, using this as an example of real world ideas, you know, the discussion of perhaps eyewitness testimony in a courtroom, you know, different facts and details get blown completely out of proportion based on our own exposure or experience to them. So this research is sort of leading to memory, the kind of causes of memory, what helps us to create false memories, and perhaps ways to kind of cut through that to a little more, you know, kind of detailed and accurate recollection of events that have occurred. So definitely something to look forward to. It's not holodecks and deflector shields, but it's definitely, you know, pseudoscience and you know, neurophysiology. I think that's the right field of study. So definitely interesting to play with, and I definitely recommend Live Science because they cover everything: tech, living, human society, and things like that. So they're definitely a cool place to do your science nerding. Definitely a big fan of it. So I personally will be using these experiments on Alistair at some point to rewire the fact that his outfit actually belongs to my character. So you can watch that on a different episode that we'll be broadcasting separately, and I'm not entirely sure when that is. So
well, see the problem with that is that I'm your boss, and you kind of want to get paid your bison bucks.
I was double hired last episode, and I was not double fired. So therefore, there's at least one more fire that has to happen prior to me being brought back down to a zero sum. So
I'm
therefore,
pretty sure I'm that, you know, threatening me with bodily harm constitutes is...
No, I'm just going to expose you to slight electrical shocks to rewire your nervous system so that you remember things differently. Don't worry, it's painless. We do it to Xander all the time.
Except I know Xander. That's why I'm worried.
Oh, it's cool. Just sit in the chair. Sit in the comfy chair. It'll all be good. So, Trek. Obviously, Star Trek Online does share a commonality or two, on a very loose level, shall we say, with the Star Trek universe. And by a loose level, I mean it's pretty much exact. Starfleet International. Starfleet International Fan Organization, the official organization. Their conference is actually August 1st through 4th, so it's, you know, 7 days away, about a week away. They're going to have Vaughn Armstrong, who played Admiral Forrest on Voyager. And they're going to be at the MGM Elegante Hotel in the heart of Dallas, Texas, or MCM Elegante in Dallas, Texas. Tons of surprises. The theme for the year is, of course, the Year of the Phoenix, as 2012 was supposed to be the year that the world comes to an end. So, of course, we're very happy that it didn't. Also, the Year of the Phoenix being a reference to Gene Roddenberry as the Great Bird of the Galaxy. And the Phoenix was, of course, the name of Zefram Cochrane's ship in First Contact. So we felt it was a good... So Starfleet, the organization, felt that it was a good theme for the 2013 We Survived the Apocalypse conference. So... and any information you want on that, which of course it's 7 days away, so you got to really hurry if you want to make it, is at ic2013.com. So obviously internationalconference2013.com. Are either of y'all planning to attend, or you have no people that are going, or?
Afraid I don't know anybody.
Oh.
Think everyone's holding off for a week later to go to Las Vegas, to tell the truth.
There is that. And then, of course, yeah, that's a Star Trek Experience. Is that the name of the event?
Star Trek Las Vegas.
There's that, too. And there's going to be a lot of Star Trek people there, too, obviously. We'll probably cover that one a week out so we can tell you that you're only got 7 more days to do stuff. So that'll be good. Unfortunately, like, it's weird because the 1st through 4th, is in Dallas. And then I'm actually the 5th through 8th, I'm actually going to be in Irvine, Texas for a personal work-related thing. So it's like I'm just going to miss it. And that will make me, I'll be sad a little bit. But I have lots of things to keep me occupied, which is something that I want to touch on and now for something completely different. And I'm going to call this little section of And Now for Something Completely Different, Sci-Fi Electronic Gaming Gone Crazy. In the last few days, of course, San Diego Comic-Con happened. And they've announced a number of things. Obviously, a ton of science fiction programming is coming out with the new Avengers. The Riddick trailer, the Red Band Riddick trailer, came out at SDCC. And there was the announcement of Firefly Online, which is going to be, from what the report said, it's going to be a mobile app at first. And from the mobile app, they don't know what other products are going to come about as a result of that. But we do know that Firefly Universe Online, which was going to be kind of a PC MMO, they have since stopped production to put their resources at the feet of Firefly Online. Also, yesterday marked the beginning of the year of Shadowrun. Shadowrun, of course, being one of the ultimate cyberpunk genre game lines, and Shadowrun Returns showed up on PC and, as I recall, iOS yesterday. I had a chance to play through Shadowrun Online, and if you are a Shadowrun fan, if you have experienced Shadowrun, if you remember the old Genesis game, if you remember anything except the first person shooter game from a couple of years ago, Shadowrun Returns is a definitive the way I explained it to a friend of mine is, if you remember XCOM Enemy Unknown, this is to the original XCOM, or this is to the original Shadowrun, what Enemy Unknown was to UFO Defense. So it's a complete kind of overhaul, makes it look good, brings the graphics up to a decent level, the gameplay is really intuitive, the story is classic Shadowrun. Because of course Jordan Weissman had full kind of developmental control on a number of the processes within the game, and so as a result, Jordan Weissman being the father of Shadowrun, being kind of the creator of the game line, he has the he had the ability to weave this really kind of rich, deep story, and I definitely recommend it. And then of course the other game I personally am looking forward to, there's a number of other games all coming out, but here in a month will be the release of The Bureau, which is XCOM Declassified, which is they took the failed XCOM game from a couple years ago and they completely revamped it and pulled a lot of ideas from Enemy Unknown and are re-releasing it with a more conspiracy, stop the conspiracy style storyline. So definitely something to look at. And I know 2K Games, their Twitter feed has been constant with, little miniature videos. And if you haven't gotten in on it yet, I would definitely go to 2K Games Twitter feed, or I'd look at the Bureau's website to look at the videos, because they'll play like a little snippet of the video and you make a choice. And the choice is going to be, and if you're a Secret World fan, because some of us are Secret World fans, in case you haven't heard every podcast or every talk show we've ever done. They've done very kind of ARG style, we're going to show you a clip of what happens and then everybody votes as to what this guy's going to do. Does he he's finished his field report. Does he reach for the bottle or does he reach for his gun? you know, what does he do? Everybody votes, and then they play the next part of the storyline. So it's been really fun and really involved, and I definitely recommend looking into it. And of course, there's a number of other games all coming out, and as these different movies, science fiction movies come out, of course, you're going to see progressively more and more. You know, you'll probably see, I know the other day I was playing Pacific Rim for Xbox Live Arcade, and that was a kind of fun game. The graphics are really smooth for what it basically amounts to a, like, fixed camera fighter game. So, do y'all have anything that's on y'all's individual radars that y'all are keeping an eye on?
Yeah, but it's a game that's been out for a bit on consoles, but it's coming out on PC soon. Castlevania Lords of Shadow. I'm a big fan of the mythology of Castlevania. I haven't played a Castlevania game in a long time, and I never played Lords of Shadow because I never bought one of the current consoles, and it's coming out on PC, so I'm like, well, know where I'm spending my money.
And then, of course, there's that other game from the Wing Commander guy that you're totally not interested in, right?
No, I'm totally not still trying to decide which pre-order package I want.
I went to the website afterwards because y'all, like, ridiculed me last episode. And y'all were like, you just go look now. And I went and looked, and there's, like, what is it? It's got to be, like, a dozen pre-order packs?
Yeah,
depending on whether you want just the single-player experience or the multiplayer experience or whatever.
Single-player experience, multiplayer experience, whether you want to be a fighter pilot, where you want to fly like a cargo ship, whether you want to fly something that's like an explorer. And even the individual pre-order packages have sub-packages where you can upgrade the ship.
Wow. So, Woody, are you looking out for any games that are popping up on the horizon here soon?
No, it's I just can't afford to buy games all the time. That's all. I mostly just been sticking to playing Star Trek Online, and that's about it. Mostly because if I want to get myself to Star Trek Las Vegas convention in 2016, I need to be cautious of. What do I buy?
Oh yeah. So Skipper, is there anything you're looking out for?
I'm following the Transformer Universe MMO. That's supposed to be free to play.
I was following it, and then it kind of sort of died down in regards to, you know, information. Is it still happening?
It's supposed to. It's been slated for the end of the year. The problem is during a beta test it locked up. It had a considerable crash because so many players went to one location. So something has occurred.
Well, that's why we have beta testing.
Okay, well, slight correction. I Will O'Malley did step up to remind me that Forrest was in Enterprise, not Voyager, which is really funny because I was just looking at the website right before the show to put the information in my show notes, and I saw the Enterprise uniform, and I made that connection. So I'm really sorry there, and which is really funny because I love Forrest. He's it's a really, really cool character that, you know, he's definitely behind the eight ball and having to answer to people that are maybe outside, you know, off screen, you know, so, and more powerful than Chef, which shouldn't happen. So, yeah. So at this point, I just want to. Looks like we've kind of hit the end of our programming here. We've covered everything that we were going to cover, as well as a little bit of extra stuff, and managed to talk a little bit more about the community. So I want to, of course, thank my wonderful co-hosts and for sitting in for us today, Alistair, Skipper, and Woody Valley.
I'm not wonderful. I'm magnificent.
I'm sorry. So the wonderful Skipper and Woody, and the merely magnificent Alistair. And of course, we want to invite you to holosuitemedia.com for commentary, editorials, live streams. Periodically, you might catch us online running dungeons in Secret World, or, you know, online doing crazy STFs or ground missions in STO. you never know what our live stream is going to show up. A lot of times it shows up offline, but occasionally we get a bug and we want to make sure people are seeing the cool stuff we do. So definitely keep us tuned in on the live stream. Keep checking the website. Definitely subscribe to our Twitter feeds, Holosuite. That's Holosuite Media, Tribbles in Ecstasy, Beyond TSW. And then from there, we'll, definitely connect everybody up as needed. So again, I'm Katsu. I want to thank you very much for listening and quote unquote, giving us the time of day. Next week, we should have some more information. We should have more information for you. Hopefully, there'll be some new stuff to play with and new things to discuss. We'll definitely hit up the Foundry. We'll see if we can't find one or more games to Foundry missions to play through, and hopefully we'll have some more people on to liven up the discussion as needed, a little more than before. And of course, I will give you the results of my using electrical current to convince Alistair of things experiment that will be done. So at this point, I just want to thank everybody for being on, and this is all of us signing off, and we're gonna have Warp 11 take care of us from here. Drugs and mescaline, hairy mud and heroin, Deanna Troy and Dexatrim, Bones McCoy and opium, Demerol to Voligo, amphetamines to make it so. Another night of tribbles and ecstasy. Hey, 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 hey! Hey, 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 hey! Crack cocaine and Tasha Yar. Jean-Luc Picard, two vodkas and tryptophan, Odo psilocybin, ketosalai and ketamine, 25 cc's of cortisine, another night of tribbles and ecstasy. Hey, 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 hey! Hey, 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 hey! Mr. Spock and methadone, Viagra and the voyage home, Enterprise.
Thanks.
We are off.
Like a bad smell?
Yes, we're off. Yay!